I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, and we're very pleased to welcome Joseph Vilmar, the Executive Director of Center for Secure Free Society. There's news, always news in the Americas. There's been a sanctioning of a Hezbollah agent, and this is significant because Hezbollah works out in the open, behind the shadows, throughout the Americas. Joseph, a very good evening to you. What can you tell me about this sanctioning? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. This is a very, very important sanction. I know a lot of the sanctions are important by the Department of Treasury's OFAC, but this one targeted probably one of the most important clans, Lebanese clans, that's operating in Latin America to the benefit of Hezbollah. The gentleman's name is Amir Mohammed Akil Rada. They sanctioned him, his brother, his son, who uses as a front man, and several companies that they have based in Colombia, Venezuela, and other places of the region. But let me take you back to the 1990s, John and Malcolm, because Amir Mohammed Akil Rada was implicated by the Argentine intelligence and other investigations in the region to the 1994 bombing of the AMIA building in Argentina, as well as the 1992 bombing of the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. The way that their evidence has shown is that Akil Rada came into the country through the tri-border area, through the land border crossing, brought in the detonators that were used for the explosives, used them in the bombing of the Israeli embassy in 92, and then put the explosives and the detonators underground. They dug them underground and hid them inside one of the parks in Buenos Aires, indicating that they were always planning to do a follow-on attack, which they did, obviously, in 94. Since then, they hightailed it. They never got arrested. They never got directly implicated publicly until these sanctions. And they went to hiding out in Brazil. They went to Venezuela, Colombia, Brazil, Panama, and other places. And they've been running a major, massive money laundering, drug trafficking, and cryptocurrency scheme to the benefit of Hezbollah and the Maduro regime in Venezuela. So this is a big, major development inside Latin America.
Malcolm?
What was his connection? I understand, by the way, that Maduro, where is he now? And what do you see in terms of the developments with the expansion of BRICS, the potential of other countries in South America becoming part and coming into more and more into the China sphere of influence?
That's a really important question, Malcolm, because what Venezuela has been doing in terms of its payment systems is looking for alternative digital payment systems. Now, it could be cryptocurrency, or it could be going back to something they did before called the Sucre, which is basically a digital accounting ledger. But what they're looking for is ways around the SWIFT system, so they're not subject to international sanctions, knowing that the Swiss system based in Europe denominates all of the dollar-denominated transactions. And so in that, these Hezbollah cells, particularly this one, the Akil Rada clan inside Venezuela, members of that clan were highly involved in creating the digital payment architecture inside Venezuela, because they know Hezbollah sanction, Iran sanction, Venezuela sanction, and they're looking to link that up with the other elements that are happening in Russia, China, and else. I mean, this is bringing the new world order online, literally, digitally. And this clan was one of the clans that was doing the groundwork from Venezuela.
Joseph, I want to connect what you said about Rada and the bombings in the 20th century, especially the 94 bombing. The question here is that there's a very critical election, the biggest one this year in South America, in Argentina right now. Is this story part of the conversation between Milei and the other candidates, especially Massa, the Peronista candidate, who represents, you'd have to say, continuity with whatever happened in the 20th century? Are they talking about this network and Rada and the sanctioning?
Well, John, this is very fresh. This just happened a couple of days ago, so I don't think it's made it yet to all the political dialogue and debates in Argentina, but I think it will. I think it will because there's a clear delineation, a clear distinction between the current government's position with Iran, with Hezbollah, the previous government, the Macri government, who was the first government to officially designate Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, and right-of-center candidates that are close to Israel, such as Javier Milei and Patricia Bullrich. I think it would be wise of them to bring this up because this drives a stark difference in their foreign policy and is an important matter for Argentine national security. Iran is the major actor that created the largest terrorist attack in that country in the last 50, 60 years. And so they are all obviously aware of this, but this is probably the biggest development in the AMIA investigation since the Nisman's investigations that he did about a decade ago.
Malcolm?
So when we look now at the alliances that are being formed and the shifting plates within the in the region, do you see that the connection between, let's say, Hezbollah and Lebanon and Hezbollah in South America, is it growing? Are the strains on both sides making it more difficult, or are they building interdependency in the both operations?
No, that's a key word, Malcolm. They're absolutely building interdependency, and I would say they're also building joint capabilities. There's this alliance. I mean, just in this past week, what have we seen? We saw Kim Jong-un visiting Vladimir Putin. We saw Nicolas Maduro visiting Xi Jinping in China. Xi Jinping missed the G20 because he's meeting with Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro. We're now hearing about Gabriel Boric from Chile traveling to Beijing next month, potentially Gustavo Petro as well from Colombia. What we're seeing is a state alliance that's building an anti-American and anti-Israel and authoritarian alliance that uses non-state actors, both terrorists and criminal actors such as Hezbollah, to advance their foreign policy interests. And Venezuela does this all the time. Iran does this as well. But now what we're seeing is the big dogs such as Russia, China get involved as well.
And the Hezbollah in Argentina, is it active in this presidential campaign? I return to it all the time, Joseph, because victory from Massa will mean that the cover-up continues.
That's 100% right. You know, if Massa wins the presidency of Argentina, they're going to continue to turn a blind eye to Iran, to Hezbollah, to diminish their abilities to counter these threats from the tri-border area. But this is a big issue. I think it's a particularly big issue for Patricia Bullrich. She was the Minister of Security during the previous Macri government, and she was one of the key players that helped lead to the designation of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, the first designation of its kind in the history of Latin America. So I think this is a very strong issue that they should introduce in the campaign if they haven't done so already.
Does Hezbollah have political weight in Argentina? Could it influence the vote?
Not directly in terms of the brand or the name Hezbollah, but they have a huge connection with the political players that are tied to Kirchnerismo inside the country, but also that are part of Lebanese communities, not all of which are negative, but some of them are very sympathetic to Hezbollah. And so Hezbollah has been very good as a clandestine organization working with and through its proxies in Latin America. Some of those are Lebanese families, and other of them are corrupt Latin American politicians that have been doing the biddings of Iran and Hezbollah for many years.
Malcolm?
Do you see any change in terms of the elections that are taking place in South America? For a while, we saw Chile, others, the negative outcomes, let's say, from America's national interest. Is there any kind of shift? We see the new president of Guatemala saying he'll move the embassy back. Paraguay in Israel, move it both, say they'll move it to Jerusalem. Is there any kind of a counter trend developing there?
No, right now, Malcolm, I think we're at an inflection point, and you're seeing forces getting pushed in both directions. You have a situation like Paraguay, where it's relatively positive for democratic nation states around the world, and you have a situation like Guatemala that could be potentially turbulent for the same reasons. Argentina is really the big election this year. Ecuador has an election as well. That country's in a lot of turbulence with transnational organized crime. But I think Argentina is the big one. It's not a small country. It's a major power. It was once one of the richest countries in the world and in Latin America. It's now an economic disaster. But if it can change its administration, meaning it can go away from the Peronist Kirchnerist movement that has taken it over for the last 20 years, it has the potential to revive itself as one of the powers in the South. And I think that this is very important. Either Javier Milei or Patricia Bullrich, I believe, can do that, but they have to win the election first.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Malcolm Hoenlein, I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.